This is the Life Truth Network.
Quest for our Truth, Episode 361.
Quest for Truth, presented by Protectorate Productions and HPN, Helsley Podcast Network. Now located at life-truth.com. And now, here is your host, Keith Helsley.
Hey, welcome everyone. This is your host, Keith, and it's time for Quest for Truth. Hey, we're coming up on the Easter season as the time of you're listening to this. It'll probably be last week, would have been Mardi Gras, Ash Wednesday, and the beginning of Lent for those who celebrate that. But for now, I wanted to use these upcoming weeks because I'm not really knowledgeable on what Lent is about. But last year, Lifeway had offered a 8-session study plan for Easter for churches who were in COVID lockdown. They could use this. They gave it away for free. And so I figure, hey, for use, it would be a derivative work with me presenting it. I'm not reading it verbatim. And anyway, I thought we would just, over the course of the next 4 weeks, actually five, there'll be an interruption for a Truth Exposed episode in there. So over the next 5 weeks, I'll break it down and do 2 sessions at once. Yeah, I think it'll work out okay. And so that's the plan, and this is what we're talking about today as we look at sessions 1 and 2. The whole plan goes from Palm Sunday, which is what day 1 is about, is an unexpected king is the title that they give this. And we'll also look at the session 2, bearing fruit, which is an interesting teaching that Jesus slips in there. So we'll go with that. We'll get started in just a moment. Right after a word from our folks there at the Christian Podcast Community.org, you hear voices like the ones you're going to hear right now.
Did you know that Striving for Eternity provides speakers and seminars that we would come to your church and disciple your people? We have seminars on the Bible interpretation made easy, creation science, evangelism, presuppositional apologetics, even on sexual abuse. These are just some of the many things that we could provide for your church. Consider inviting one of our speakers to your church. You can contact us at speaker@strivingforeternity.org.
It's a big conversation, but it's the one that we're having today on the Hopecast.
Steve and Bethany are a Christian radio morning team turned podcasters. They're answering the big questions of life and faith in fun and practical ways. If you're looking for real hope in this crazy world, this is the podcast for you. Welcome to Steve and Bethany's Hopecast.
And we are glad you're with us, Hope Dealers from literally around the world. Thank you for joining us here this week. And we've got another great episode coming up.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about this, talking all about just the struggles of being a Christian, still dealing with sin in our lives.
Main topic.
This is an 8-day Easter devotional. Well, anyway, Lifeway decided to give out for free this 8-day devotional series. So this is where it came from. And because they gave it for free, I'm going to use it more for an outline to jump on the scripture, maybe make a remark about a comment they made. But in the presentation, hey, of course, it'll be my take on all this. Here we go. I'm going to combine 2 days at a time, so it'll be a four installment series, not eight, and it'll work out. So we'll end the week before Easter, so it's pretty timely. But the first session I'm going to cover, day one and day two, this is titled "The Unexpected King," and it's comes from Mark 11, 1 through 11, and this comes from the NASB that I'm going to read. As they approached Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, on which no one yet has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' you say, 'The Lord has need of it.' And immediately he will send it back here." Verse 4, "So they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in a street, and they untied it. And some of the bystanders were saying to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' They spoke to them just as Jesus had told them, and they gave them permission. They brought the colt to Jesus and put their coats on it, and he sat on it. Verse 8, "And many spread their coats on the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut from the fields." I want to focus here on verse 9, so I'm pausing this a little bit. Verse 9, "Those who went in front and followed were shouting, 'Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord,'" it's all caps. going on, verse 10, "Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Finally, verse 11, "Jesus entered Jerusalem and came into the temple. And after looking around at everything, he left for Bethany with the 12, since it was already late." Now, we're getting back, underscoring verse 9, "Those who went ahead and those who followed behind shouted, 'Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" And, of course, this is from Mark 11, the first 11 verses. Every year, this is a comment from the devotional reading, every year as travelers would come to the temple, was Passover, this phrase was part of a series of psalms that people eagerly sang. Pretty sure they're called the Psalms of Ascents. It was a praise to God for their deliverance from Egypt. But now, as Jesus arrived, the people are calling out these words. The commentator says, "Hosanna literally means 'save, we pray.'" In other words, save us. we pray, we beg you, save us. And everyone shouted, adults, children, they were greeting him as a powerful king, the rescuer of the Gentile oppressors. But you have to ask, is this what Jesus came for? No. Jesus was not just the conquering king or teacher or change agent for circumstances. He is the Messiah, the King of all kings. He rescues people from sins, from the bondage of sins. Here's a quote from the lesson. "While people look for temporary solutions to their problems, people need a permanent change. Salvation by grace through faith brings only real change." I mean, how many times in our world today people, I think Obama ran on ticket of he was going to be the president of change, and he changed maybe some things socially, but I think it was messed up. Presidents and politicians today, they talk about change. Well, change is inevitable, but it's not always good. Now, whenever you do become changed because you live in Christ, it may not affect your external circumstance, but it will change you as you worship Christ. Now, let me read Zechariah 9:9. Let's see. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Well, there are some predictions there from Zechariah. So, as it relates to the passage of Mark, clearly there's a prophecy. Jesus was coming on the donkey, the colt. And Jesus is endowed with salvation. He is, his name is, Yah saves. Yah being short for Yahweh. And so he was a king coming to them, but he wasn't coming to them for an earthly type of salvation. There was great expectation among the people. They were really thinking that he was going to be their king to conquer the enemies around them. But he brings something unexpected. He brings eternal life.
Attention, this is a coded report nationwide.
You're now tuned in to Life Song Radio, a weekly podcast dedicated to accurately studying the Word of God in a comprehensive and biblical manner. Listen in as hosts Phil Ramsey and Blake Shankle dig into the Word line by line, verse by verse, leaving no stone unturned. Grab your Bible and your notebook and get prepared to study the living, breathing, active Word of God. Now, here are your hosts of Life Song Radio.
And we're back. Blake Shankle, along with Mr. Phil Ramsey, welcome to Life Song Radio. Good to see you, Phil.
Good to be here.
Good to be back.
You can follow us on Facebook and YouTube. And if you want to continue to study throughout the week, check out the resources available on our website at lifesongradio.com. See you next week for another episode of Life Song Radio.
So, something to think about there. But let's look at the next day of this, and it's titled Bearing Fruit. I kind of like this passage. This, for a long time, was a mystery to me. But let's get dig into it here, looking at Mark 11, 12 to 14, just a few verses, and it follows on the heels of what we just read. And I'll read it again from the NASB. On the next day, when they had left Bethany, he became hungry. Seeing at a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if perhaps he would find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. Verse 14, he said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples were listening. While traveling, back and forth from Jerusalem, because remember, he was staying in Bethany, possibly with Lazarus, but there's no evidence of that. But while traveling back and forth, Jesus saw a fig tree. It seemed to be healthy and leafy, but it wasn't the right time for producing fruit. Now, why would he curse the tree for not producing fruit if it wasn't season? There's a spell in the springtime, because I had the apple tree in my yard growing up as a kid. We have a peach tree in the yard here. In the spring, there's a time where, the leaves on all the trees start popping out, and it's all leafy and green, and then you have all the flowers all over it, where the fruit will eventually be. And then the flowers go away and buds appear. And then through the rest of the season, until the leaves fall, you pretty much have fruit on it. Okay. So this being Passover, it'd be in the spring, so there would be a leafy tree. Maybe it's too soon to have fruit. Why would Jesus want to have a green fig bud? I can't imagine eating a little apple bud. They'll be hard and very sour and nasty. So why would Jesus go and look for fruit when he knew it wouldn't be there, when he knew it's out of season? And then, of course, later the leaves would wither. And the disciples would observe the next morning, you know, jumping ahead in verses 20-21. Well, here's the thing. The tree wouldn't have to be in season. Jesus is the creator of the universe. There's nothing that was made that he didn't make, according to the early verses in John 1. Jesus took a boy's 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he broke it and broke it and broke it and broke it. And he fed 5,000 people with 12 baskets left over. Where do you think all that bread of fish came from? If Jesus wanted a fig, all he would have had to do is touch the tree and a fig would grow instantly and fill his hand. So this tree disobeyed the creator of the universe. When he looked for fruit, it doesn't matter if it's out of season or not. When he lay his hands, there's no reason why that tree couldn't have burst forth in fruit. Jesus constantly used just typical daily things to teach spiritual truths. And but in this case, as I said, it doesn't matter, but this author of this devotional says that while God has given his people opportunity to produce fruit, they did not. They had been in season, possibly. They were not in season now. They had the potential to be in season again, possibly. But it doesn't matter if it's off-season when the master of the universe touches you and you don't get fruit, then you can be cursed. But as we continue worshiping and preparing to worship for Easter, just keep the thought of his call to bear fruit. After all, he's given you an opportunity to change lives with people around you. Wherever you go, you're always in contact with somebody. Who are you in contact with? Every day, try to be making a positive change in those people's life. Well, what if they're already Christians? Well, encourage them. What if they're not? Well, share them gospel, bite-sized, baby-sized pieces, putting a stone in their shoe, as it were, giving them something to think about. So let's look at some extra things. There's a question here. How is a fig tree a good illustration here? Well, traditionally, the fig tree was considered to be where teachers taught their students under the fig tree. So it had some religious symbolism, some spiritual symbolism. So there was that in the old days. Let's look at Romans 7, starting at verse 14. We'll go into the early couple verses in verse chapter 8. Starting Romans 7:14, again in the NASB, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand, for I am not practicing what I want to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing is not. Or, as the King James would put it, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. 19. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present within me. The one who wants to do good. 22, for I joyfully concur with the law in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. For wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. Now, before I read Romans 8, you know, what this reminds me of is shortly after World War One, there was an anti-war, back then it was a radio series. It featured James Cagney as the lead character. And the issue was he was an injured combat veteran, and he finds himself, he wakes up in a hospital, and he can hear people around him, but he can't see, and he can't move his body. He's paralyzed, or maybe it's quadriplegic, but he's paralyzed. He can't move his hands, can't move his feet. He can't see, he can't speak. I think all I can do is hear, and maybe he can't even do that. But the premise is his mind is awake and alert. In other words, he would have a mind at once to get up and go, and obey the law, but he has a body that says, no. Now, in the end, he manages to be able to move his head a little bit, and he taps out the Morse code on his pillow, and it catches the attention of his nurses and doctors, and they figure out, wow, this guy's conscious. We didn't know. But it was an anti-war story dating way back to World War One. I think it was actually produced in the 40s when that came out on the radio. But this is what Paul's talking about. In my mind, I want to do what's right, but my body says no. But let's go on to Romans 8, verses 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. So this law is good, but it's a law that our body rebels against. Our physical urges and desires go utterly against what, like, the Ten Commandments say. We would just love to kill somebody. We would just love to steal. We would just love to fill the rest of the Ten Commandments. But our minds says no. But here we have the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It sets us free from condemnation. It sets us free from this law of sin and death. So don't be like a fig tree and be cursed to die the next day. Be set free by belief in Christ. And you can do that if you feel guilty, you probably are. And when you feel guilty, it's the Holy Spirit drawing you. And when the Holy Spirit is drawing you because of your guilt, this is when you need to seek the answers. And the answers are Jesus died for your sin. And if you believe that, you don't have to do anything. Just believe that, because the Holy Spirit has been giving you these seeds, planting these seeds of guilt, letting you aware that what you're doing is not right. And it's through Jesus' death on the cross that pays for that. So if we desire to do the right thing and produce fruit, the thing to do is to respond to the touch of Jesus on your life. Don't be like the fig tree and keep resisting.
The good news is Striving for Eternity would love to come to your church to spend 2 days with your folks, teaching them biblical hermeneutics. That's right, the art and science of interpreting scripture. The bad news is somebody attending might be really upset to discover Jeremiah 29:11 should not be their life verse. To learn more, go to strivingforeternity.org to host a Bible interpretation made easy seminar in your area.
Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. We are back today. And thank you guys for listening. I hope you have been encouraged this week as I have been. If you have not left a review for the podcast, please do that for us. We would really appreciate it, and share this with your friends. I know that they're going to be encouraged by it as well. Have a great rest of your day. We will be back with you on Monday with another fantastic guest. See you then. Bye.
Okay, and there we go. Some good topics there on being ready in season and out of season, because even if you're out of season, whenever you get the touch of Jesus, that's important. It's always the season to respond. Hosanna, and here comes the King at the beginning of this week. Well, that's all I got.
But first,
coming soon from Dr. Watt.
I think the universe has exploded.
Are you telling me...
Hey, did anybody notice that the universe just exploded?
Beware the Ides of March on March 15th. Only on Protectorate Productions Comedy Showcase at bit.ly.com/funnyandclean.
So, hey, let's turn this over to our voice of the podcast, Anthony Russo, and he'll tell you some things about how to find us on the web.
Visit life-truth.com, where you can find all our shows. Leave a message or call our voicemail number at 401-753-4844. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/life-truth page. Follow us on Twitter at HPNcast, capital H, capital P, capital N, capital C, AST. Everything Nathan Caldwell does can be found at facebook.com/protectors of the book. Music in the show is used by permission of Kevin Zerbe at zerbinator.wordpress.com. May God richly bless you. May you find everything you need. And if you don't know Jesus, your greatest need is a Savior. Thanks for listening.